Good morning. Good morning. Your cowboy mic works. If you didn't know, this is called a cowboy mic. And I feel like I should have a cowboy hat on if I'm going to wear a cowboy mic. But maybe we should show cartoons. Who remembers Cowboy Bob back when you were kids? Yeah. Maybe we should have cartoons up there. Let me take a moment. I just want to see you. Let me just look at you for a second. See who's here. Hi. Good to see everyone today. As we start, before we really get into it, I want to introduce Ben and Kathy Kemp to you. They're sitting right here in the middle. Ben, Kathy, if you could stand up for a second, wave everybody. Kathy's like, oh, he's making a stand. Wave everybody. Yeah. They're placing, they want to be associated with the Southeastern Church. They're placing their membership with us. So let's welcome them today. Ancient words, ever true, changing you, or changing me and changing you. Let's come with open hearts. I hope that's where we're at today. That's where I've tried to be as I prepared this. You know, I'm a sinful man standing before a group of sinful people. And it's only by the grace of God that we have an opportunity to have a relationship with Him and a relationship with one another. I want to tell you a little bit of a story this morning to start off with. First of all, the last few times I've gotten to preach, I've had two, maybe three pages of notes, and I've waxed kind of eloquent, if you know what I mean. Went a little long. I've got it down to one page of notes. You know what that means? All that means is I've got a better set of glasses. But I will take my watch off and see how this goes. So I'll take it off and set it right here so I can see where we're at. But I want to tell you about a friend of mine, a friend named Earl Lotzenheiser. Do you know Earl Lotzenheiser, June? Okay, Michael and Rachel know Earl and Sue Lotzenheiser. Earl Lotzenheiser, let's see. Last week, I walked into Earl Lotzenheiser's birthday party. Nancy and I went over there, and it was up in Chesterfield, Indiana. And as I was walking in, I said, when I grow up, I want to be like Earl Lotzenheiser. And my wife says, well, that's because Earl never grew up. And I said, exactly. But you know that's not entirely true. It's funny, but it's not entirely true. Earl is a very special person. Earl is a World War II veteran. In 1946, he was fresh home from the South Pacific, and he was riding a train from Wichita to California, and he met a young girl by the name of Sue on the train. And 4 or 5 months later, they were married. And they've been married for 73 years. In 1977, when I was 15, going on 16, Earl retired from BorgWarner up in Muncie. When I knew him, when I was a teenager, I thought he was ancient. And yet we walked into his 100th birthday party last weekend. And I said on the way in, I want to be like Earl Lotzenheiser. Had nothing to do with how old he was. It had to do with the kind of person he was. That he is, I should say. The kind of person that Earl is. People like him. People love him. Can you think of people like that in your life? Someone that you look up to, someone that you respect. I have people here at Southeastern that I feel that way about. I told Kent Brantley last week. You know, Kent got to speak to us last week. Monday or Wednesday night after church, I actually got to interview Kent for our podcast. And that podcast will be posted after the beginning of August. He asked us to hold it till August. But I got to interview him, and one of the things I told him is that I kind of said something similar to what I told Nancy about Earl. I said, when I grow up, I want to be like your dad, Jim Brantley. Can't look at Jim right now. He's sitting right over there, but I won't look at him. But I respect and love Jim Brantley with all my heart. I like to be like him. But you know, I've had other people. Keith Stillinger was another one. I really love Keith. What's the question? Those of you who had lunch with him at his office at Bob Evans, what was it he always said? How's your spiritual life? Always ask that question. I want to be like Keith in that way. But you know, the interesting thing is that I'm not going to be like Keith with a snap of the finger. They got to be who they are. Earl got to be who he is. Jim got to be who he is. Keith got to be who he is through years of growth and development. They didn't wake up one day and be who they are. I want you to think about somebody like that in your life. Somebody like that that you respect. Someone that you wish that when you grew up you were like them. I want you to think about that. Because what I want to talk about today is two things. Becoming the person you want to be. And number two, becoming the church that you want the church to be. So, how do you become the person that you want to be? First of all, again, you don't wake up one day and say, I am that person today. It is something that you have to develop, something that you have to grow into. You can't just snap your fingers and be there. We have a, well, you know, when I got married 34 plus years ago, I really wanted to have a home of my own, and a nice car, and a dishwasher. And that the first year we wanted an air conditioner, because we didn't have that either. But you know, those are things that people that worked a long time had. It took me a while, it took Nancy and I a while, before we got some of that in our lives. It wasn't overnight. It's the same way with this development in becoming the person you want to be. If you think about the person that you want to be, the first thing you have to do is you have to play what I call the long game. You have to play the long game. You have to think ahead. You have to think beyond this week and today and tomorrow. You have to think about next year, 5 years from now, 10 years from now. You have to think about who you want to be, because it's going to take you a while to develop into that. I have a sister. I love my sister to death, but she can't think past, well, for years, what I used to say, she couldn't think past her next pack of cigarettes. If she had $5 in her pocket, she spent it. And she would basically, she'd get some money, and a week later, she's broke. And she's always been that way in her life. She's never been able to think ahead. And we've got to be, when we think about spiritual things, when we think about what we want to be, we've got to be able to play the long game. If you would, turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Now, Greg always had the verses on the board for you. Sorry. I didn't get that done. We got to do this the old-fashioned way. So if you have your Bible, open it up to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. If you get your digital Bible in your little handheld device, no texting, no Facebook, but open it up to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 24 says, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself may not be disqualified for the prize." The point of that, to me, is you have to train yourself. Becoming the person you want to be means training yourself. If you would like, okay, I look at older couples, and you look at me, you're like, you are an older person. But believe it or not, there are people older than me. And I look at older couples, and I think, that's who I'd like Nancy and I to be when we get older. But I'm not ever going to become that if I don't treat Nancy the way that I need to treat her now. Right? I can't be running around on her. I can't be going out to the bars. I can't be doing things that are inappropriate now if I want us to be that couple later. Does that make sense? So, play the long game. Number two, 2 Peter chapter 1. I get these little quick things right here. I miss whole sections. So, I'm going to take them off and I'll throw them over there. So, 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 9 says, "For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." A couple of years ago, some of you know I wrote a book, and I published it. And one of the coolest things I got to do that first year is my fourth grade teacher, when I was in fourth grade, she's still teaching in Muncie. And she was teaching third grade. And she asked me to come in and talk to her class. And that was so cool. And I had a picture of her, what she looked like when I was in fourth grade. And I took that and I gave it to the class so they could see what she looked like back then. I think she's retired this year. But she got me to speak to them. And one of the things I did, because I wanted to encourage them to understand how important it was to learn where they were at. If they wanted to become a writer, or they wanted to become whatever it is that they want to become. You know, kids want to become things, right? You know, who in here wanted to become a doctor when you were a kid? Jim Brantley didn't even raise his hand. I wanted to be Johnny Bench. I wanted to become Johnny Bench. Anybody wanted to be a fireman or an engineer? Come on, guys. Ethan, what did you want to be when you were a kid? A nuclear physicist. I'm changing your name to Sheldon. Nate, what did you want to be when you were a kid? Wow. You should do that. John Shepherd, what did you want to be when you were a kid? He succeeded. Gina Garrison, what did you want to be when you were a kid? She succeeded too. Well, I wanted to be Johnny Bench. Maybe it would have been better to be a nuclear physicist, but I wanted to play baseball. But, you know, here's the thing about playing baseball is you have to learn your basic skills, and you have to practice, and you have to build it up, and it has to become more and more and more, right? Johnny Bench, when he was a kid, his dad used to teach him, you know, anybody who doesn't know who Johnny Bench is? Okay. A lot of people don't know who Johnny Bench is. Johnny Bench was one of the greatest baseball catchers of all time. He played for the Cincinnati Reds in the 70s and 80s in their Big Red Machine days. And if you Google him and look him up, he is one of the greatest baseball catchers of all time. But he used to when he was a kid, his dad used to make him throw, you know, the throw to from catcher to second base to catch people stealing the base. That's one of the key things a catcher has to do. But instead of having his dad practicing throwing it from the home plate to second, his dad would be in the middle of center field. And so Johnny Bench had to throw to please his dad, he had to make that throw from catching position to the middle of center field. And that's how he got to be one of the greatest catchers of all time. But he didn't get there overnight. He had to build it up. And one of the things I told this class was, I put a series of building blocks there. I built a pyramid. And I knocked it over. And I said, who'd like to rebuild that for me? And one of the little girls says, I'll do it. And so she comes up and I said, okay, I want you to rebuild that pyramid, but I want you to put the top blocks on first. And she couldn't figure out how to do it. And I said, that's exactly right. You have to start with the base. And it's the same thing with us. If we want to become the people that we want to be, we have to build our base. And then we build those blocks like goodness and perseverance and self-control and mutual affection. And we build those. And one day we develop and we wake up one day and we're that person that people, we're that Earl Lotzenheiser, Earl and Sue Lotzenheiser. Or maybe that we're that Jim and Jane Brantley in my mind as well. And number three, we need to follow the way of love. I'll pick them up, I promise. Roger, I will pick those up. Okay. Follow the way of love. 1 Corinthians 13 is known as the love chapter, right? Love is this, love is that, love is not this, love is not that. And at the very end it says, basically, that faith, hope, and love are what remains. And the greatest of these is what? Love. Do you know what the first five words are in chapter 14? We don't read that. First five words in chapter 14 is, follow the way of love. And with that, I want to flip over to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1 verse 9 says, and this is my prayer that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. Remember, it starts with love. So that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. He's assuming that they have that base of love. And they build on that with their knowledge and depth of insight, because sometimes things are gray and we've got to figure out what the right thing is to do. And if we start with the way of love, we can get there. Now, here's the little saying I want you to hold on to. Be the person today that will help you to become the person you want to be tomorrow. Start today and be the person today that will help you to become the person you want to be tomorrow. Now let's talk about the church. We're at a crossroads, right? Greg's been here for 16 years, and Greg has moved on, and now we're in this interim period. We're trying to find we're going to be searching for a new minister. We're going to have a guy come in temporarily. He's going to be with us 3 out of 4 Sundays for the next 6, 8, 9 months while we search for a replacement. We're going to be doing a lot of self-examination. We're going to be asking a lot of you to do a lot of work to help us to build this search committee and to find someone. And we're going to be looking at who we want to be as a church. We got choices. We can dive inward, or we can focus outward. We can be worried about what's going on in ourselves, or we can look out for people that we can reach out to and bring in who need a relationship with God. We've got a choice. We can gel around our traditions. This is the way we do it here. Or we can implement some new strategies for a new generation, a new series of people, a group of people that need to be reached in new ways. We got a choice. We can do either one. We can choose to love, or we can choose to judge. we can grow as a congregation, or we can fade into the dust of history. We have a choice. And I think to do this, to deal with this, we have got to get back to some basics. So I want you to turn to, here, I forgot to throw this one. Forgot to throw that one. There it is. Oh, it didn't make it off. Okay, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. I want you to see verse 3. Paul writing to the church in Thessalonica. He says, "We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith." I want you to listen to that. Their work produced by what? Faith. "Your labor prompted by love." What was prompted by love? Labor. "And your endurance inspired by hope." What was inspired by hope? Endurance. "By hope in our Lord Jesus Christ." Faith, hope, and love. Do you remember what I mentioned a minute ago? The last verse in 1 Corinthians 13. These three remain. Faith, hope, and love. Follow the way of love. It says here that when we have these three things, it inspires us to work. It drives us to labor, and it gives us endurance when times get tough. So I want us to take a hard look at our faith, our hope, and our love. If we as a people are lackluster in our commitment to building this church, then we're struggling in one or more or all of these three areas. Maybe someone feels like they've lost hope. Maybe they've lost hope in their own life. Maybe you're out there thinking, I'm never going to become anything. I'm never going to be effective. I'm never going to be the person I need to be. And you've given up hope. Or maybe you have lost hope in the church. Well, I've tried to do something before and it didn't work. Or I came to the leadership and I suggested this and they ignored me. Or I suggested a program and it didn't get done. And you've lost some hope. What I'm asking you to do is regenerate that hope. Maybe you feel unloved. Maybe you feel like people don't care. If that's the case, talk to us. Talk to people around you. Let's look to love one another. And if you're not that person who's feeling unloved, I want you to go around and look for people who do need to be loved. There are plenty of them in this room. Personally, I could use a little bit. Couldn't you? Let's love one another. Maybe your faith is struggling. Bottom line is we need to build one another up. And the next thing I want to say is that we all matter. Every single one of us. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, 15 and 16. Instead, I won't go back and see what the instead's for. Y'all can do that when you want to. But instead, speaking the truth in love. By the way, we have people who speak truth all the time. But don't miss that second part. In love. Right? If you're going to speak it in love. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up. It builds itself up in love as each part does its work. I have two knees. You notice that? I have my right knee and my left knee. I don't even think about the right knee. Doesn't hurt. Feels great. Do whatever I want to with it. Left knee hurts all the time. It's the ligaments. They ache. They're swollen. They're inflamed. Something. But I feel every ligament in that knee. Right? Sometimes we're a ligament. And nobody notices us. We're just doing our job. We're doing our thing. And sometimes we're a ligament and we hurt. We're struggling. And we need to voice it. And we need to call out. And we need to get the help we need. But the key thing is we're all in it together. We all matter. Every single one of us. This church is the sum total of the combined efforts of every one of us. So you matter, regardless of what you do. And we can't afford to have sofa quarterbacks. You know what I mean by that? Who knows what a sofa quarterback is? Jerry, what's a sofa? Gary. I always want to say that. Sorry about that. Gary, what's a sofa quarterback?
Kind of sits in front of the television and yells, telling the coach what to do.
Right. We have a church here. We can't afford to have sofa quarterbacks. If you want us to do something, you got to be involved. You got to be on the field playing the game. You got to be part of the team. We all got to be a part of it. Remember what I said earlier, be the person today that will lead you to become the person you want to be tomorrow. What I'm suggesting also is that you be the church today that will help us to become the church we want to be tomorrow. You are the church. You are the church. You might be a right hand, or you might be a ligament in the foot. I don't know, but you're all important. You don't think that ligament's important. I can tell you that ligament in my knee is important. Be the church today that will help us to become the church that we want to be tomorrow. So, what are you willing to do? What are you willing to do? There's lots to do. We have lots of stuff. We need teachers. Did you know that? David McElwain's been leading our children's ministry since Carolyn. Drew a blank. Is Carolyn here today? No? Good. Don't tell her I said that. She'd remind me about that mistake, right? David McElwain's been leading our children's ministry since Carolyn stepped back. And you know what? He needs teachers. I've heard that some people don't want to teach because, well, the last time I taught, I was in there for 2 years. Well, duh. 12 years? Somebody said 12 years. That's a long time. But you know, if we all pitched in, and everybody who can do this, men or women, who can teach in our children's program would be willing to teach, we could rotate people in and out of there 3 months at a time. If we'd all pull together, if people would step up. We need people on the praise team. We put things in the bulletin and people don't step up. We need you to step up. We've got a bunch of different ministries we're trying to fill roles for. We need you to step up. There was a time Jim Mills was leading our open and our door lock. Call it a door lock ministry, right? So somebody to open and close the building on Sunday morning, and he couldn't get people to come early enough to unlock the building. But we need people to step up. And if you're sitting there and you're thinking, well, I don't know, well, figure it out, because we need you. Stop holding back. We invited a bunch of you to come to our seminar next Saturday that's going to be investigating being part of the search committee. If you got an invitation to that, please come. Please involve yourself in that. And then the next thing I'm going to say is love people. We have something called a love initiative here. we're really trying to love people more. We really are. We don't really know how to do that. We think we do, but we got a lot of growing to do. I've heard that some folks want us to develop a program. We probably will do that. That's a good idea. But we don't need to wait for a program. Jesus said what? Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said, love your enemies. Jesus said, love one another. Jesus said, go into all the world and make disciples. How many more goes do we need? Jesus told us to go and to love. And we just need to love the person next to us. That's our love initiative. Let's do it. So, how'd I do? Oh, man, 30 minutes. Well, I'm done. You know, when I was in Bible college a long time ago, one of the challenges when you're learning to be a preacher is you try to get people emotional enough that they come forward. I don't care if you come forward. In a moment, we're going to have an invitation song. There's going to be a couple elders back there. I'll be standing up here. I don't care if you come forward or go back there. I don't care. What I care about is that you make a decision today. Not after lunch, because after lunch, you won't remember what I said. You'll just remember he went long again. I don't want you to wait till Tuesday. You won't remember it on Tuesday. I want you to make some decisions now regarding what you're willing to do. What are you willing to do to fulfill our commitment to one another, to fulfill our commitment to this church, and to become the person that you want to become? So, with that said, you can come forward. I'll be up here. You can talk to me. I'd love to hear from you. Or there'll be a couple of guys back there and their wives. One time we had somebody stand up here and they said, there'll be an elder and his wives in the back. I'm glad you all caught that, right? We're not that church. Usually it's two elders and two wives. You know, that's typically how it works. But you can do that now as we sing this next song.